This hour is brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.
A topic that's come up recently, unretiring. It's a thing after millions left the workforce during the pandemic, the Great Resignation, which is what it was called. A new study by T. Rowe Price found that 20% of retirees are working part or full time, which is double the number from 2 years ago. And here's Yahoo Finance's Carrie Hannon.
There are some wonderful reasons to continue to work in some fashion, even if you have saved appropriately, because you can maybe add to retirement accounts. You can stave off dipping into those retirement accounts so they can keep growing. And you can delay your Social Security benefit, possibly from full retirement age, say 66, 67, until age 70. And you get a 8% increase each year in your benefit that is permanent between those years, full retirement age and 70. This can be significant.
So do you have clients who brought up the subject or perhaps have even gone in and unretired? And besides the financial benefits, are they, you know, happier for it?
Well, I haven't had anybody that unretired. You know, we have people that picked up something just to give them something to do. And it's more or less the fact that they have a lot of boredom, I guess we could say. But some people just, you know, like that's mentally, like they love to have a challenge or something to do. And look, if there's a vacancy of honeydews at the house, projects, or maybe something to restore, or maybe you don't want to travel. Some people, like, maybe they travel throughout their career, and you know, some people are fortunate to take their spouse with them, going to different countries for different purposes. But then, you know, it's going to retirement, like, you're like, I've been everywhere, and I don't want to, I'm not interested in going anywhere. And so they get bored, so they go back and work, and it's really just to have something to do and socialize. And we were talking about the other day in the office, you know, I have a younger staff, and even though they're really good at what they do, they, you know, they like to use technology, and it's like, why do I have to go to a bank when I can take a picture of a check and deposit? I'm like, well, look at it this way, you know, the people that are retired are, they want to keep that social interaction. So if you're adopting technology, you know, at its best, then that you're not being as social as you could be. So, you know, we have people that, you know, tell us, look, I want to go into the bank and make that deposit. You know, I can tell the teller hello, and there's, you know, maybe there's a manager standing by. I can, you know, just say hi to, you know, like these kind of things. Like we can, you know, obviously we can get our food sent to us, delivered to us now. We can go pick up our groceries and stay parked outside, and they bring it to us. When I run into a store, I might see one person I know, I might see 20 people I know. And it's nice just to play catch up and have conversations with these people. But I'd rather have a conversation with someone, like you tell me what you've been doing instead of me already knowing because of I saw something online.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, but it's something about that social interaction. And people probably go back to work just for that social interaction. You know, they kind of get bored, maybe lonely, and you know, they still have time with their, you know, grandkids or maybe other hobbies. So maybe they don't go back full time, but they go back part time just to have that social interaction.
You know, the one thing that you don't want to have to do is unretire because the plan fell apart or you didn't have a plan and, well, your retirement fell apart. You know, with the proper strategy going in ahead of time, sure, unretiring for the or not unretiring, but, you know, taking a part time job here and there for the social aspects of it, by all means, or, you know, maybe just a little extra income or turning a hobby of yours into a profit, that's always a great thing. But if you have a proper plan in place, hopefully you can avoid the unretiring out of necessity because you need to go back into the workforce. And that is what we want to drive home here, you know, the importance of having that for whatever may come down the line, whether it is an increase in taxation, whether it is market fluctuation, Social Security, the changes of that, long-term care. That's what you get. You get a comprehensive strategy with the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management with Acadiana's retirement strategist, John Blanchard, so that you can do what it is that you want to do in retirement, whether that is, you know, become social or you know, maybe it is stay home or whatever it is, whatever your retirement plan is, help let Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management help make that into reality. Pick up the phone, give a call, schedule a time to speak with them, 366-8366, or going online to MatthewJames.com. Here we are at the very tail end of the year, and people who are RMD, are required to take those RMDs. The R does stand for required, after all. They need to make sure that they drive that home. A woman wrote into an advice column recently saying it was time for her to do that, but she doesn't need the money and wondered what options she had. If she came into your office, what would you tell her, John?
Well, I mean, look, there's people that are in the situations, especially where, you know, your RMD is very, very sizable. I mean, we have people that RMD is six figures, and they only need like 20 of it, you know, to support their Social Security income for their needs. So, but what we see is, you know, taking that money even before they get to RMD season. You know, if you're doing Roth conversions prior to when you have to take a required minimum distribution, that can help you lower the amount of, you know, money that you have to take. Now, regardless, you have to take the money out of the account. So if you take the money and do a conversion, put in a Roth, well then, and you don't need the money, then that money can grow tax-free. And so that can help you save yourself a lot of money whenever that money is being transferred over to a non-spouse, in other words, a child. Because what happens is they have to follow an RMD schedule and they have to liquidate the account by the 10th year. So the government sees that there's a lot of tax opportunity that they can have on those assets as you withdraw it over a 10-year period. Now, well, you know, one thing that you can do is you can gift money to children or grandchildren. So you can gift $17,000 or up to $34,000 if you're married. And so that can help you with tax deductions. But the qualified charitable distribution is something that's key. Now, you have a limit of $100,000 per year. And so you can use that gift to satisfy your RMD and you get a deduction on your taxes. So this is something that really works well, but you have to be 70 and a half and older to use this qualified charitable distribution or QCD. Now, the QCD, what happens is you're taking money directly from your IRA, from the custodian. So typically, let's say when you go to church and they're passing the basket, you know, asking for the offering, mm-hmm. What are most people putting in that basket?
Usually a check or cash.
Right. And so that check or the cash that they put in, has that money been taxed already?
Yeah, I would assume so.
Well, this is an alternative. And what happens is you're taking pre-tax money and you can give that money to the church or a charity or a nonprofit or St. Jude's or whatever you want to do. And that money comes directly from your IRA. And so you do a qualified charitable distribution. So on a distribution form with just about almost every custodian, there's an area where it has qualified charitable distribution. So that what happens is that money goes from the custodian, leaves your IRA, and goes straight to that church, charity, or nonprofit. And it doesn't flow through your 1040. By doing so, you lower your adjusted gross income. You're reducing the amount of exposure to taxation of your Social Security. And so there's multiple benefits on doing that. And so if you can give more money and pay less taxes, obviously that would be an ideal thing mm-hmm. to do. So, you know, we just have to look at what things can we do and maybe what do you want to do? You know, what's things that you want to do to help out maybe your community or our church or if you're charitable inclined in general. If you're not charitable inclined at all, I mean, obviously, you know, you're not going to really want to do a QCD. But if you are, then it's very beneficial. Mm-hmm. So we just have to figure out what are you wanting to do? And then how to use the tax code to benefit you in any way possible.
If you are required to take those required minimum distributions, you do so. If you want to figure out the right way to go about it, the right way to deploy it, to make sure that it is as efficient as possible, Matthew James Tax Wealth Management, they're here to help. Give a call, 366-8366. Go online, matthewjames.com. Also, if you are not quite RMD eligible yet and you want to minimize what the effect of that is going to be down the line, having a tax strategy, especially as we get to the end of the year, same number, 366-8366. Disney just officially turned 100 years old, and it joins the exclusive club of companies that made it through the Great Depression, World War II, the advent of the internet, and the social media era. You know, pretty remarkable, all things considered. John, how do we go about getting Disney-like longevity when it comes to our retirement plans?
Yeah, I mean, ideally what you want to do is, you know, boost your savings rate. I mean, find more free cash flow, create more free cash flow. And look, that's even through budgeting. I mean, making sure that you're not maybe overspending in certain areas. When I spent a lot of time in school systems and other businesses helping people budget and get out of debt, you know, what I focused on was looking at what liabilities they have or what, you know, what debts that they had and try to reduce that, you know, the time frame, the interest, and then the payment that they were making to free up more cash flow and take that money and reapply it towards making sure they're building their emergency fund, but also saving more for retirement and not just trying to put, you know, thinking, okay, well, I'll put $50 away and I'm going to have $5 million for retire. That's you know, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But ideally, it's a matter of maxing out your contributions that you can afford, but also trying to max out the limitations that the government gives you on your, you know, your 401k or your Roth or you know, even, I mean, there's no limitation on brokerage accounts, like your individual account, like something that's what they call after-tax accounts. You can put as much as you want in there and take whenever you want that money. You can take that money out whenever you want to. So, you know, we just want to make sure that you're putting the accurate amount of money in and maybe, you know, investing more than what you probably need to make sure you have an abundance. And that's the thing is the more abundance you have, the more that you can do. Just like you can only give from the abundance. You know, when people need help, it's hard if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you know, to give. Most people in that situation can't afford to. But whenever you have an abundance, it makes things a lot easier. But boost your savings rate and invest more money. That's more money that's compounding for you. Possibly delaying Social Security. I had a conversation this morning at the gym, and a guy was talking about how he builds cabinets, but then he's like, well, I can't make over $21,240 a year, you know, because I'm taking Social. I'm like, well, how are you following your taxes? And then he told me, I'm like, well, if you do a W-2, keep it to this limit, and then you're getting a dividend from your business, or then you have other, you know, instead of, you know, paying self-employment tax, then, you know, you're changing the game and you can actually make more money. He's like, man, I didn't even know this. I mean, that's like, now he can like go work more, make some more money because he likes doing it. And, you know, that we just got to look at all these different opportunities. Look, we have to, you know, we have to plan for inflation, you know, as far as, you know, expecting that to happen and having a plan for it, making sure our money's allocated and in the right areas, growing the right way, but also not exposed to a substantial amount of risk. And we got to look at, you know, the money that you put in that risk, we got to allocate that in proportions. So think about it this way. Let's say if you're going to go to the casino and your wife says, hey, look, you have $100, go to the casino. If you lose it, no big deal. But if you take your 401k and lose it at the casino, what is she going to do to you or he going to do to you?
Going to leave you probably.
Yeah, more than that. You're gone. Like,
murder,
take
yeah.
you out back. Put you down, you know, like an old, you know, farm animal. Mm-hmm. So, Nick, we got to look at that and make a better decision with that money. The other thing that we have to do is, you know, and so you want to take an amount of risk with a certain proportion of your money, like substantial risk, in other words, where if you lose it, it's not going to be like detrimental. But ideally, it's all about having money in buckets, everything, you know, allocated in certain accounts for certain purposes. And that's the big thing. And then looking at how much you need in for your retirement, like your retirement paycheck, what do you need to survive? But not just live it off of ramen noodles and tap water, really enjoying yourself, you know, if you're going out to eat whenever you want, doing travel whenever you want. So it's a matter of living by a budget, understanding what you need to, you know, spend and eliminate any penalties and fees. Like we have somebody that we have a lady that we helped out probably about a year and a half ago. Well, she's not even 59 and a half yet. And she has money in her IRAs that she's withdrawing from. Now, keep this in mind. She's not even 59 and a half yet, but she's taking out random distributions, and then she's complaining about the taxes that she's paying. And I'm like, but you're also paying an extra 10% penalty because you're taking this out before 59 and a half. And so, like we told her, and like, but you're still doing it. Like, you were upset about it, but I'm like, I told you, like, you're going to pay excessive taxes by doing so. And so, but she's like, she's spending money, and I'm like, I don't even know where it's going. And so it's a matter of like, okay, keeping it together, understanding where your money needs to go, but sometimes people have a shopping habit, and I, you know, her situation is a little different. But bottom line, we just got to look at where that money's going,
and being smart about it. You know, and I venture to say there are listeners out there who heard us talk about Disney turning 100, and then asking about how it pertains to retirement and scoffing, saying, "I'm not going to live to 100." Here's the thing: the UN just put out a recent study, and they found that there's about 600,000 people in the world right now that are over the age of 100, and then that number they're saying is going to grow to about 3.5 million in just, you know, a couple of decades. So longevity is certainly a thing. People are living longer and longer these days, and as we talked about earlier in the show, the last thing you want to do is find yourself, you know, without, you know, in your 80s or 90s and find out, you know, what do I do now? Do I have to unretire? You don't want the what do I do now moments when it comes to your retirement. Having a proper plan in place to address the longevity risk, that's always funny to say, but the risk of, you know, outliving your savings, you know, finding ways to make sure that the money lasts as long as you do, all starts with a properly crafted plan, and that is what you get at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. All you have to do to get started, pick up the phone, give a call, 366-8366, or going online to matthewjames.com. The Federal Reserve is going to meet this week to make another decision about interest rates. Whatever they decide, there may be another long-term effect we could be feeling for years to come. Here's Robinhood founder Tudor Jones on CNBC.
Our interest bill is going to very shortly exceed our defense spending in just a couple of years. Probably be close to 20% of your taxes will go to pay interest on the debt unless we do something.
The interest on the national debt, which, by the way, is $33 trillion and increasing to rise. So yeah, that money's got to come from somewhere, and it's going to be from, you know, the pockets of people like you and I. What do you see as the positive and negative effects of these higher rates, John?
So on the positive standpoint, when you're looking at investing money in fixed accounts, the CD rates are going to be higher, money market accounts are going to be higher, even bond yields will be higher. So, but the negative ramifications are looking at borrowing money. You know, people wanting to maybe buy a new home, you know, getting that mortgage. I mean, we see a drastic reduction in refinancing homes. I mean, why go from like 3.5 to 7.5? That doesn't make any sense.
Sure.
But people are like, you know, people that have been accustomed to this low interest rate environment are not wanting to go get a mortgage for double the interest rate that they could have had 2 years ago. Now, obviously, a lot of people are kicking themselves in the butt that they didn't, you know, maybe yeah. buy that home or refinance when they could have locked in a lower rate. Now if they refinance, they're paying a higher rate than what they currently are. If they thought their 5% or their 4.5 or their 4.75 was high, obviously it's a lot higher now. But we'll also look at how it affects corporations. So there's a lot of corporations that have loans that had a certain interest rate locked in, and they're coming upon a term where that's going to renew, and it's going to be a lot higher. So that changes the way things work on your balance sheet and the amount of money that you have to allocate towards, you know, paying a higher note for these specific loans. So, you know, we're looking at what it's doing to, you know, the car industry, the auto industry, where you're financing a new vehicle instead of like a low APR of 2% or 1% or 0, where, you know, a lot of people are financing at 6 and 7 and 8. But even when it comes down to like the subprime market, where, you know, normally you would see high 20s, low 30s, it's even higher. So it's affecting different areas. It's affecting the bond markets. It's as they raise interest rates, it affects the stock market as well. So we just have to pay attention to what's going on, have an understanding of, you know, where you are with your finances, have your money allocated in the right areas, because every time they change these interest rates to try to combat inflation, we got to look at all the negative repercussions that we see in the markets, even though there's some positivity in certain areas. But I think the negatives outweigh in a lot of different scenarios.
Certainly. And, you know, even if the Fed chooses to pause interest rate hikes for the remainder of the year, inflation has crept back up a little bit. So it looks like it's going to be here to stay, at least heading into 2024. So being aware of this, you know, making sure that you can use anything that's favorable to your advantage in light of these higher interest rates, but also just being cautious as it affects your overall retirement picture. Matthew James Tax Wealth Management can help you navigate these waters. All you have to do is pick up the phone and give a call and start developing that plan or refining the plan if you already have one. Second opinion never hurts to have a second set of eyes on your plan, see if there are any changes that need to be made. They're available by calling 366-8366. Last year, many people put their cash in I-bonds when the rates were nearly 10% because those savings bonds are tied to inflation. But as inflation has come down, so too have the rates on I-bonds, and they're due to reset the beginning of November. For those that have held I-bonds for at least a year, what is the sweet spot for cashing them out, and where's a good place to put that money?
Yeah, I mean, look, where people are cashing out, we're seeing what the projections will be, and ideally what we want to do is find, you know, with that, obviously that money has a purpose. So, I mean, right now we can use a money market account that pays around 5%. I mean, if people want to put in the CD, it's going to pay equally the same. We just got to look at what is your liquidity needs. And so ideally that's the thing that we got to pay attention to, because there's a lot of principal protected bank or bank alternative investments where you're going to make around 5%. And ideally that would be something to do because these I-bond rates went down. I mean, nobody's going to have $1 million in I-bonds because you can only, you know, purchase a very small fraction of that dollar value. So ideally, we're using money market accounts and CDs paying around a 5% yield. So it's just a matter of what is the purpose of the money and when do you need it for us to make a decision on which vehicle that we're going to use.
Again, it's all about being tactical. It's not something that you want to go about blindly just making choices. And because more often than not, that's going to lead to probably some incorrect choices. The team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they can help you out with that. Just give a call, and you know, if you've held onto your I-bond for over a year and you want to look, maybe there's a more lucrative way to make that money work for you. 366-8366. MatthewJames.com. I posed this question a little earlier. How often do you wash your bed linens? Because if you really want to get rid of the germs and the dust mites and things like that, microbiologists recommend throwing your sheets and pillowcases in the laundry every 2 weeks. On top of that, you should replace your pillows every year, the mattress every 5 to 10 years, and bedding every 2 years or so. Let's turn this into retirement talk, John, because that is what the show is about. How often should people give their income plan a refresh?
So we should be giving our income plan a refresh probably every year. Ideally, when we meet with people, things change. We see different needs. Maybe they are probably wanting to do more with their money than what they planned. I mean, people just maybe have a different itch, or maybe they have more time on their hands. Well, typically, they do when you're retired. Mm-hmm. So there's maybe another hop that's being picked up. You know, we see a lot of people playing pickleball. Well, I mean, look, that's a low-cost entry sport. Ideally, but maybe not. Maybe you want to travel and go watch more pickleball tournaments on another side, on you know somewhere else in the country, not just staying in the Lafayette area, or go to Baton Rouge, or go to you know Lake Charles, or you know New Orleans, or go to Metairie or something to watch you know pickleball. You want to go further out. But like you know, people have a bucket list of things that they want to do. They have destinations they want to go to, so they might have to change the amount of you know income that they need every month to. You know, cover that cost. So I would say what you want to have is a plan, a good, better, and best plan, ideally where, you know, you have the minimum amount that you need, but then you have like two greater dollar amounts that you can stress test your portfolio to make sure that it can pull that same income without creating advanced liquidation that can shorten the lifespan of your actual account balances. Because ideally, you don't want to have to run out of money, and you don't want to run out of money, period. And so whenever that happens, people have to unretire and go back to work. We talked about that earlier, you know, in the show. And so ideally, we're trying to avoid that at all costs and looking at the right areas, the right vehicles that we can use that could pay significant yields without having to worry about a lot of principal loss in the event of a major downturn.
At least once a year is when you want to make sure that you take another look at your plan. You know, and Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they do that. They do annual reviews with their clients at the very least, because sometimes things happen. There are major life events, you know, a divorce, a loss of a spouse, birth of a things that make you want to reevaluate the plan. And again, that is as good a time as any to reassess that plan and make sure all the proper changes are in play. Sometimes it is not, you know, something related to the family dynamic, but it is something that happens outside of our control. You know, changes in D.C. as far as taxation, things like that. Having someone local, someone in the area that can help you navigate that, easy to get a hold of, to reevaluate the plan, whatever the needs merit. That is what you get with Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management right here in Lafayette. Just give a call, 366-8366 to get started. Or, like I said earlier, if you want a second set of eyes on your plan, if you think that there may be ways that you can make your money work harder, or you just want to see if that's even possible, 366-8366. MatthewJames.com. Downsizing from a big home to something smaller has been considered a rite of passage for many retirees, but as we talked about with interest rates tied to mortgage rates, and those are approaching 8%, along with the low inventory and steep prices, does the move even make sense right now, John? What are you telling clients who might be asking about this?
You know, if you're downsizing and you're paying cash and you're not financing, it's a lot easier decision because, I mean, when you don't have to finance at these higher interest rates, obviously that makes things a lot easier. So that's something that we have to pay attention to is the interest rate environment. So if you're able to pay cash, downsize, and then now you have money that's available that you can take and use in different areas, maybe create another income stream with that money or boost your savings that you may have, that would be ideal of using that money. So it all depends on your situation, but we do find a lot of people that are making that transition to downsize because they don't need the room. They're not raising children. Now, granted, you got to keep in mind, you might want to downsize, but what if you have, you know, someone that lives out of town or you like to take the grandkids in often, and if you don't have enough room, then that, you know, that creates a problem. Then you have to turn around and buy another house at a larger value, and maybe you don't want to finance. Maybe you want to try to pay for it cash, but you already used the money, or you did something different with it. So you know, we just got to pay attention to those different options that are out there, and what can you do to solve the plan. So it's like, don't sell too early, but evaluate your situation. But maybe you know you can downsize But you could still, whenever you downsize, it still will support the family that you know, like if you have grandkids coming over, or you know you're having like a Sunday dinner at the house, those kind of things. So we just have to look at, you know, making sure that you're making the best mathematical decision. Now, you might have a second home that you're looking at selling, and making sure that if you want to buy another place, or maybe you want to buy a condo in Florida or, you know, Orange Beach or something like that, where you're utilizing the 1031 exchange. And keep in mind, there's a time frame where you have to stay within to solve, you know, to get that 1031 exchange completed. Now, we talked to someone during the week, a guy that I knew from the past, and him and his wife sold a second home, a rental that they had, and they just say, oh, we'll just deal with it later. You know, kick the can down the road, and then they kicked it too far, where they can't do a 1031 exchange. So they got to pay the taxes on the sale of that home. Or, you know, we just have to look at all these different scenarios on what's your plan, what you're trying to do. And if downsizing might be the right thing, but keep in mind, whenever you downsize, it's if you plan on having family over and you downsize too much, then that could become a problem.
You got to think of the bigger picture, not just the immediacy of it. And I think that comes into play for so many things in life. You got to look at the big picture, not just what is going to suit you for the here and now, but also 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It can be difficult to see sometimes, and with home buying, it's certainly a little bit different as opposed to a retirement plan, because as we've said earlier, if retirement plans, when changes happen, annual reviews, things like that, you can always reassess, reevaluate the plan. You can't suddenly just reassess, oh, I'm just going to add an extra room to this house. It's not really that easy, but it is something to consider, especially, again, with mortgage rates the way they are right now, with inventory being the way it is right now. It's not something that should be done, but you definitely want to proceed with caution. Measure twice, cut once, maybe measure thrice when it comes to this. And figuring out how it works into your plan at the end of the day. Matthew James Tax Wealth Management, when it comes back to coming back to the plan and making sure that it is sustainable, they're here for you. 366-8366 is the number. MatthewJames.com. That is the website. A new study from Morningstar looked at the performance of target date funds over the last 15 years, and their conclusion, their words, if target date funds had never been invented and Vanguard and Fidelity had placed that money in a balanced fund, investors would be significantly wealthier today. Now, as you get closer to retirement, the target date fund is supposed to move to more conservative investments, but clearly this isn't working. Why is that the case?
Well, it's we got to look at the way these target date funds are structured. You know, in 2020, there was a big, you know, I don't want to call it a revelation, but we got to look at how these things were allocated. And so in the 2020, 2025, and 2030 target date funds with, you know, Vanguard, Fidelity, and these other ones, there's a significant amount of bonds held in that portfolio. So they have a fixed income strategy that's, you know, focused on being conservative, providing a certain yield to give people a certain amount of income for retirement, where you're not supposed to have, in theory, a lot of principal loss, where you become vulnerable in that situation. Well, so what happened in 2020, with the market crashing in the first quarter of 2020, mm-hmm. and so that rebound that happened that year between, you know, the NASDAQ really rebounded, and then the S&P, you know, had a comeback as well. But what happened was the equity portion of these target date portfolios were the valuation of that side of it was significantly higher than normal. So what happened was they were forced, as far as the portfolio managers, were forced to sell equity positions and buy back more bonds to rebalance that portfolio, whatever the percentages they need to have on each side by the rules of that target date fund. Well, when they were doing that, they were buying bonds, a.k.a. debt, at a higher price with a low interest rate. They were buying bad debt at the end of the day. And I mean, trillions of dollars of bonds in that scenario. And then because of what happened throughout COVID and with inflation and the printing money and Jay Powell saying, hey, we need to raise interest rates. Well, what that did was that drove down the price of the bond, even though the bond yield was going to be higher. Mm-hmm. So then you saw a drawdown in the market last year, the stock market, but you also saw the valuation of bonds fall as well. So we've seen some of these target date funds fall up between 27 and 29% last year at its worst. Now you think about it, okay, negative 27, negative 29% return on a 2020, 2025, 2030 target date fund, that's pretty substantial. When people are thinking, ah, maybe this thing might lose 5%, I'll be okay with it. But when you're losing 27%, and more, 25%. That's a lot of money. Even 20 is a lot in that, because you're getting closer to retirement. The way they're supposed to be rebalancing these things is to where it's more conservative. Well, it was really vulnerable because of the bond exposure that they had, and what happened with the stock market as well. And so that's something that we have to look at, moving away from it. What can you do to make changes in that scenario, and how can you reallocate and getting that money outside of the 401k? Number one, you don't have to deal with the 20% mandatory withholding, because what if you only owe 12%? What if you only owe 10, 8? Maybe you don't owe anything because you're withdrawing just enough money from your IRA to where the standard deduction is basically waiving the tax for you. So why have a mandatory withholding of 20 when you don't even owe anything in that scenario? Or you might owe a little bit. Everybody's in a different situation, so we just have to calculate where you are. But ideally, what happens is when you move it outside of the 401k, and you can invest in whatever you want. If you want to invest in real estate, if you want to invest in alternatives, if you want to use any ETF that you can find, or any stock, ideally you can do that too. So we just have to look at, creating a plan where you're using tax efficiency, removing that withdrawal, that withholding limitation of 20%, and then from there is giving you a complete open architecture to where you can give more purpose to your money and you can make it function differently than what the select funds that just about every 401k allows you to invest in. Most people just use the target date fund because it's easy. And so when we see a lot of 401k statements, typically most of them are target date funds. And so it's a good thing to do is transition away from that whenever you can. Now, obviously, the qualifying event is either you left the job or you retired, which is basically the same thing, or you're 59 and a half and older, where you can do an in-service transfer. And so, or it's also called an in-service distribution. So whenever Enron collapsed, a lot of the employees at Enron had their Enron stock in their 401k. Well, they lost a significant amount of money, basically almost all, if not all. Well, the government created a rule that allowed you to take money out of your 401k, move it to another plan, another IRA or somewhat, or even if you want to convert it to a Roth, but if you were still employed at the company, you had to be 59 and a half and older. Now, look, we've met people that had qualified from an age standpoint, but their plan did not allow them to do that. That's pretty frustrating to find out whenever you're trying to make a change and you're stuck in the plan that you don't want to be in. So if you're not sure, call your HR department and find out, are you eligible for an in-service rollover, in-service distribution?
On paper, the target date funds, the 60-40 portfolio, they make sense. But as we've seen in the past couple of years, the flaws behind them, with bonds and stocks taking a hit last year and, 2020 being what 2020 was, really exposing the flaws, I think it has gotten people, more aware of it, but they may not necessarily know what to do as far as it, whether they just have to grin and bear the double losses. That is not the case. There are situations, as John pointed out, especially as you get closer and closer to retirement, if you're 59 and a half, or older, you can make those kind of distributions, make those changes, have more control over your retirement accounts. And, if there are things that aren't carrying their weight, aren't pulling their own weight in your retirement plan, being able to tighten that up and really make it work best for you. Matthew James Tax Wealth Management, they can help you with that, but you have to take that first step and reach out to them. Schedule that time to speak with them, 366-8366, or going to MatthewJames.com. Now, when it comes to communication, Dolly Parton, who is a national icon, maybe international icon even, apparently she's not a fan of modern technology. At least that's what her friend Reba McEntire said recently on Watch What Happens Live.
Reba, what was your last text exchange with Dolly? Or do you and Dolly text?
Dolly does not text.
She does not. Does she email?
No.
Really?
No.
So you only can get a hold of her on the landline?
Fax.
Wow.
No,
fax?
Really?
Fax? Really? You can only fax her?
I don't have her telephone number. And I asked Kenny Rogers one time, I said, do you have Dolly's number? He said, no.
Wow. My mind is blown.
You know what? Maybe he said that because he didn't want to give it to me.
Yeah, right. I doubt it.
So if a client needs to reach out to you, John, quickly, how easy or hard is it to get a hold of you guys?
Yeah, I mean, look, just give our office a call. 337-366-8366. We do our best to call people back the same day, at least 24 hours after they called us. I mean, obviously, the next business day, if you call on a Friday, I'm not going to, you know, we're not going to call on a Saturday. But, you know, we definitely want to get back with you as soon as possible to answer any questions or you know, if you're looking for feedback on something, we definitely want to make sure that we are available. And we have specialists here that can answer questions. It's not just me. So sometimes people call and they want to ask me about something that, but you know, pretty much anybody on our staff could answer that question. So it's just a matter of, look, when you're calling in and they ask you, what is it for? Just tell them and they're like, oh, well, I can give you that answer instead mm-hmm. of, you know, having to wait on me giving you a call back in case I'm in back-to-back meetings, which that sometimes is always the case. So usually I'm making phone calls. It's in random windows, and you're not even expecting me to call you back. You might be in the middle of something. So it makes it tough. But, you know, definitely, you know, when you're calling in, let them know what you're calling for, and they could probably help you out.
Matthew James Financial Group is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency and does not provide legal or tax advice. Please consult with your attorney, accountant, and or tax advisor for advice concerning your particular circumstances. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. Bonus annuities may include higher surrender charges, longer surrender charge periods, lower caps, higher spreads, or other restrictions that are not included in similar annuities that don't offer a premium bonus feature. Read your contract for restrictions, limitations, or penalties. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through John Ronald Blanchard, Louisiana Insurance License Number 529925. Investment advisory services are offered through J. Hagen Capital, Inc., registered investment advisor. Insurance products offered separately through John Blanchard, License Number 529925.
This hour was brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.